Amen. As I was meditating this week, the Lord gave me some thoughts on that very thing. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as we come together and look at God's word. And what is he saying to the church right now? You know, the kingdom of God is advancing. Things are changing. We don't need to get nervous. Hallelujah. We need to keep looking to Jesus. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that your word is anointed. And Lord, we just thank you that you anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning. Bless this people, Lord. Bless those that are listening online. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your teaching this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever watched the Olympic rowing competitions? Has anyone ever seen them? It's called sculling, and there's 8 men in a boat, and they're rowing with all of their might. They're roaring, too, but they're rowing with all of their might to get to the finish line. But what amazed me as I have watched this is that their back is to the finish line. So they're totally dependent on the man sitting in the front of the boat that's looking forward and yelling out the cadence with every row to keep the 8 men totally focused to the finish line. And that's a lot like our Christian race. We're running. We don't know when we will be at the finish line. We don't know if it's going to be today, tomorrow, next week, 10 years from now. Only Jesus knows when each one of us is going to reach our finish line. Our responsibility is to stay focused on him, to listen to his commands, to obey him, to trust him by faith that he's going to get us safely across that finish line. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Let's read the scripture together from Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He chose you. He chose you to run this race. And we said, yes, Lord. And that's our two words here at the River of Life. If you hang around with us very long, you're going to know we say, yes, Lord. When God asks us to do something, we say, yes, Lord. It might look impossible. We might not have the money, but we're still going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to what you desire for us to do. Because God is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's looking down upon us. And, you know, if we trust him, he will direct our paths. Yeah, but you got to trust him with all of your heart and keep looking forward. We don't look in the rearview mirror. When it comes to the things in the kingdom of God, yes, we sit and look back and we reminisce, and that's always fun. But when it comes to the things in the kingdom, you can get really hung up on the way things used to be when you were first a Christian. Or you can get really hung up on the things you used to do before you came a Christian. You can spend lots of times just repeating over and over in your mind all these different scenarios that simply waste your time. The Lord wants us to come to another level of trusting him and looking forward and letting him take care of what needs to be taken care of. So on Wednesday morning, I was just got up really early. The Lord got me up at 3:30, and he just began to give me some thoughts. And so I wrote these things down, and I hope they bless you. And this is what it says. Keep looking forward. Don't look back at how things were, but look to me. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. I'll tell you what I'm doing right now in your life and in my church. In this season, you have the wind of my spirit moving you forward. Don't look back. Keep moving forward. Keep your hands on the plow. Those in the kingdom of darkness are legislating their own laws and setting up their kingdom. But it will fail. It cannot stand, and it cannot endure. Their imaginations are running wild, and their desires for wealth and power and pleasure have blinded them, and they have gone mad. They call the evil works of darkness good and good evil. And when you see their destruction, do not rejoice in their calamity, but rejoice in my faithfulness to save my righteous people out of the hands of the enemy and their unjust schemes. Soon they will receive their reward. When you come together, look to me for help and strength. The problems of life will continue as long as you are in this world, but rejoice that I have overcome the world. Open your heart to me and what I'm doing right now. You are free to worship me and live for me. You are my shining lights in the darkness. Be about your Father's business, for the night is coming when no man can work. My kingdom is established right here and right now, and my kingdom is advancing. Keep looking forward. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Yes, give the Lord a praise. Thank you for your word, Lord. When I'm talking about looking back, it's like looking back with this longing desire that pulls you back. Looking back. And it often represents an inability to accept what God is doing right now and an inability to be willing to change according to God's will. It would take us weeks to unpack this, and we're just going to unpack a little bit of it today, and then we'll pick it back up the first Sunday in August. So the Spirit of the Lord said, in this season, you have the wind of my spirit moving you forward. And as I receive thoughts from the Lord, words from the Lord, you know, I like to line them up with the scripture. And in Isaiah 40:31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In this season, there's a waiting on the Lord to renew your strength. If you want the wind of the Spirit to keep moving you forward, you don't go in your own strength, in your own timing, but there is a waiting on the Lord to hear from the courts of heaven. And the Lord said, don't look back. Keep moving forward. Keep your hands on the plow. Well, you know, Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Luke 9:57-62. And he was asking them to follow him. And there's a cost to following Jesus. So we're going to read through that. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, and that was Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And in other words, he was saying to this person that was ready to follow him, are you ready to rough it? Because right now I'm in some rough conditions. I don't even have a place to lay my head down at night. He was being real. Tell your neighbor he was being real. Jesus never said this road would be easy. Then he said to another, so he asked someone, follow me? But the man replied, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In the Message Bible, it says, Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow. Seize the day. And so all of these were excuses. The Lord knew their heart, that they weren't 100% sold out to really following the Lord. Because when the Lord asks us to do something, it isn't, yes, Lord, I'll gladly do that, but. You know, we can always find a reason not to do what we know we should do. And what these men shared sounded very reasonable. But it shows us that Jesus really doesn't accept any excuses. The cost of discipleship is everything. Following Jesus is not, yes, Lord, but. He commanded us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things would be added unto us. You know, I would like to believe that when you seek the Lord first, he fulfills those desires of your heart so you can take care of what you need to do. But your first priority must be Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And to be about your Father's business, because there's a time coming when no one will be able to work. Don't look back. As I thought about that, the very first thing, of course, that came to my mind was Lot's wife. How many of you know the historical account of Lot's wife? We don't even know her first name, but Jesus commanded us in the New Testament that we should remember Lot's wife. In Luke 17, 32 and 33, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. So remember Lot's wife. So what are we supposed to remember about Lot's wife? So, you know, we have to go to the scripture, right? And so that historical account is in the book of Genesis, and it's in chapter 19, and you can read every detail of it if you would like. But just to give you a little historical background, in chapters 11 and 12, we find Abram is told to leave his hometown and to leave and go to a land that God shows him. And you know, Abram didn't know where he was going, but he didn't hesitate. Do you remember the story? He didn't hesitate. He was ready to go when God asked him to go. And Lot tagged along with him. Now, we're not told at that time whether or not Lot had a wife, but if she did, we assume that she was with her husband at that time. So chapter 13 teaches us about the success of the families of Lot and Abraham. And because they were so successful, it began to cause some strife between their herdsmen and ultimately between the two of them. And Abram was a peacemaker, and he didn't want to have any trouble in the family. How many are peacemakers here and are careful not to have any trouble in the family? And so that's what Abram was doing, don't want any trouble in the family. So he actually gave Lot his first choice for where he wanted to settle. And Lot wanted to settle in the fertile Jordan Valley. And so that left Abram in the desert hills of Canaan. And so in chapter 17, it's been 24 years later. You see, we read the Bible and time really goes by quickly and we don't realize how many years are going by. But it had been 24 years since Abraham had left. And there was plenty of time for Lot and his family to settle their roots in Sodom. Because actually what Lot did was he put his tents down in the Jordan Valley, but then he moved his tents as far as Sodom. He kept moving towards the city. And the city of Sodom, it was a busy place. It was a city filled with energy and excitement. It was a place which came alive when the sun went down. And in Sodom, diversity was the watchword of the day because they loved all of their diverse lifestyles, which encouraged all kinds of lewd behavior, especially homosexuality. And if you read the account in Genesis 19, you'll find that men were sleeping with women, or men and women with women, and everything was all mixed up, just like we see today in our culture. And I thought, as I reread this week, I thought, well, if Jerry Springer would have went to Sodom, he could have taped a lifetime worth of shows. But little did the Sodomites know that God was about ready to punish them for their ways. And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. She was right in the midst of all of that. So God was preparing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of God's love and covenant with Abraham. And God shared with Abraham what he was going to do. And Abraham pleaded with God, and he said, if there is 50 righteous, if we find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? Well, they couldn't find 50 righteous. So then Abraham tried 45, then 40, then 30, then 20. And finally he asked God if he would spare the city for 10 righteous. But not even 10 righteous could be found in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is how much the culture had infiltrated to everyone's soul. So in Genesis 19, and I'm just giving you a synopsis, like I said, if you want to read every detail, it's an interesting story. In Genesis 19, we find that two angels arrived, and Lot, not knowing these two men, insisted that they come and stay at his house. And while they were at Lot's house in the evening, the men of the city wanted Lot to send them out. And so, because they wanted to know them, which in the Hebrew would be they wanted to be intimate with them, and the men actually tried to break into the house. And so it was a riot outside this house because Lot had these two men there. And so the angels, they struck the people with blindness so that they could not see the door. And then the angels told Lot to gather up his family and leave because God was going to destroy the city. And so we're all the way ahead to Genesis 19, 15 to 16. And the scripture says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Even Lot was like procrastinating. He was just taking his time to get out of the city. There was a draw, there was a pull that was pulling on this family to stay in Sodom. But Abraham had prayed for them. Abraham had interceded for them. Abraham had cried out on their behalf to come out of that filth that was in that city. And God sent angels to deliver them. So it came to pass in verse 17, when they had brought them outside, that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And then we're going to skip to verses 24 to 26. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So Mrs. Lot failed to do what she was told to do. Have you ever gotten the mindset to do something your way, regardless of what anyone else thinks, even God? You know, this morning, I just want to let you know, the devil knows exactly how to trip you up. He knows exactly how to tempt you. And what is needed is to fight the urge to sin and to follow the commandments of the God of what he's asked you to do rather than suffer the consequences. How do we as Christians follow God's commands? Well, Jesus tells us to remember Lot's wife. So let's take a look at Mrs. Lot looked back because she was still in love with Sodom. Even though her steps were turned and she was going away from it, she was still in love with Sodom because she had a divided heart. And today the message is still the same. Unless you are totally surrendered to God, your divided heart is going to be your downfall. Once a pattern of living has been established in a person, it's hard to change. You know, once we get into a certain way of doing things, it's nearly impossible for us to even fathom the idea that something else could be better. Many have looked at this passage and are really quick to blame Lot's wife for her actions. And she did reap consequences for her actions. But you know, she's not alone, because she's really not too different than all of us. She was a human being who had become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, and then all of a sudden she had that taken away from her. And that had to be difficult. Just imagine being in her shoes and thinking of everything she had left behind. Think about how you would respond to the same set of circumstances. Even though they knew that the city was going to be destroyed, she still had a desire to be in that place. So when you have a divided heart, it will slow your forward progress. She was moving towards what God had commanded them to do, even though the angels had to drag them out of Sodom. She was moving that direction, but her heart really wasn't in it. Sodom had gotten a hold of her. But there are things that get a hold of us. What about lukewarmness and complacency? I believe this mindset has gripped the Christian world today. It's sad, but true. The fact is that it doesn't take long for a divided heart to be unsurrendered. A divided heart weakens our decision making. Remember the scripture said, James said, a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways and shouldn't expect to receive anything. So her divided heart ended up costing her life, and there was no second chance. So she lost her life because she longed for what was in her past. And I believe that's what God is saying to us when he says, don't look back. Don't long for your old way of life. Don't long to go back to what was, but trust me for what is right now. So we just need to remember the actions, and we're going to take a look at this, of Lot and his family. When God calls you out of a situation, one that is surrounded by sin, don't hesitate, get moving. You know, the angels were trying to hurry him up, but they were hesitating to leave. But yet, by the mercy of God and because of the covenant God had with Abraham, Lot was rescued and his family. And we've been rescued too. God has rescued us. Colossians 1:13 through 14. Read it with me. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank God he has rescued us. We got to keep looking forward and thanking him that we're out of that kingdom of darkness. And you know what? Our responsibility as Christians, as shining lights in the world, is to get other people out of that darkness. Our light should shine so bright that we can pull them out of that darkness. If Abraham could pray for Lot and his family to be delivered from that stronghold of Sodom and Gomorrah, we can see how great God is when we pray and we ask and we stand. We are in covenant with our families. We are in covenant with our children and our children's children. And we stand in the gap for those that we love. And with our church, we have a spiritual covenant. We stand with the people of God. We stand with the church worldwide to wake up and come out of their complacency and lukewarmness and to be the church and to rise up as the army of the Lord and to help people be delivered from the bondages of sin. Thank you, Jesus. That's what he's calling us this morning. I hear him speaking to us. Something else God is telling us to do is to resist the temptation to look back. And we've talked enough about that. We don't need to look back. If sin has that much control on us, or if there's a situation that has that much control on us, then we need to be healed, delivered, and set free from that. Somebody say amen. Amen. And God is able to do it. That's the amazing thing about serving God. He's able to bring you through every test and trial. He is so gracious not to leave us in our mess. He is faithful to his people. He knows that sin will paralyze us. And when we sin, there's a remedy for sin. He said, repent. Ask him for forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Our sins are forgiven. He casts them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Jesus. Resist the temptation to look back. And so there are several truths concerning Lot's wife, but I just pulled out five. She perished even though she had been warned of danger. And the scripture's full of warnings. Full of warnings. Why? Because God loves us. God sets up boundaries for us because he loves us. You put a gate up in your yard. Brian put a fence up in his yard. Why? To protect his children. We have a fence specialist here. He knows all about gates and fences and how to keep what you want out and keep what you need in. Amen? She was warned of danger, but she pushed past the boundary. And she knew exactly what God had said he would do. He was going to destroy the city. You know, God keeps it plain. How many Does God just speak plain to you? He doesn't mess any words. Jesus didn't when he was here on earth. He was right to the point. She perished even though she made an effort to be saved. She made the effort to be saved, but she perished. And she was separated from the godless, the sinful, but was still lost. Wow. All these things are thoughts you can ponder on. She perished even though she was given clear directions. So just like Lot's wife, God has given us warnings. He's given us spiritual oversight. He's given us parents. He's given us godly leaders. He's given us all kinds of opportunities to know what his will is and what his way is. And if you don't know, you can go find out from somebody. Amen? Don't be bashful. I think if Lot and his girls could talk today, they would probably encourage you that the most important thing is not where you've been, but where you're going. Amen. It's a new day. God's mercy is fresh every morning. It's about where he's taken you. Where has he taken you today? His mercy is new every morning. He has assignments for you every day. Yes, you have responsibilities, and it is only by the grace of God that he gives us the strength to take care of the responsibilities and the provision that he gives to us. But when we seek him first, God is going to cause everything to line up for us during the day. Come on. We don't have any promise of tomorrow, and we can't go back and change yesterday. So today is the day that we are to rejoice in the Lord and to stand upon his promises and to keep looking forward and moving towards the mark. I press toward the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. You got to press into it. The kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Come on, there has got to be a warrior spirit that rises up on the inside of you to push into everything God has for you in this season. Got to push past it. You got to push through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the wind of the Spirit is moving us forward. You know, you can feel the wind just push you forward. The wind of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. On the day that it was poured out, it was like a mighty rushing wind. And we have that same power on the inside of us right now. You just got to unleash it and let that out. And you will accomplish everything that you set your heart to do. Thank you, Lord. God is so gracious to deliver us from things in our life so we can continue to move forward. He breaks every chain. He breaks every chain of bondage. You know, if we'll spend more time in prayer and in God's word and in praise and worship, we know God is going to bring us through. As we move forward this day, let's remember what's important is where you are going. God has a destiny for each one of us. He has a hope and a future for us. It's not where you've been, but it's the heart decision that you make right now of where you're going. Are you going to walk with God? Are you going to push through? Regardless of what the world throws at us, regardless of what the world says, it doesn't matter. They do not identify us. God has identified us as his children. Ha! We have our Father's identity. His DNA is on the inside of us. And each one of us are being transformed into the image of his dear Son. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Message Bible. Luke 17:32-33 says it this way. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms. Somebody shout hallelujah this morning. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Becky if she'll go to the piano. She's going to sing a chorus for us this morning. Because if there is any division in your heart, if your heart's divided in any way, that's keeping you from going forward into everything that God has for you, ask Him to show you this morning. This is an old hymn. She's singing the chorus for us, and then she'll play a little bit. But as she sings, just let the Holy Spirit talk to you. You know, we don't want anything holding us back. We don't want to keep looking back. You know, the scripture says, leave the past behind and press on. So if something in the past, regardless of what it is, we all come from different walks of life. We've all been through different experiences. We've all had different trials and tests. But you know, we all have the same Jesus. We all have the same promises. And this morning, as she sings this, she's going to sing a few choruses and play. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because He's here this morning. He wants us to be free and move on.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart.
Says, you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. And would you sing that chorus one more time, Debbie? So that you can move forward. He desires for you to go forward. So you're the one that makes that commitment to the Lord. So Lord, today, whatever would hold us back, whatever we're holding on to in this world that's going to be destroyed, that's going to perish, Lord, let us let go of it. Let go of it. It has no value. What God has for us has eternal value. Eternal life. Eternal peace and rest. In the presence of Almighty God. So, Father, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you for each person that's here today. Lord, draw them closer to you. That's our heart. That's our cry as leaders at River of Life, that people will know you. They'll know their Heavenly Father. They know who you are, that they have a personal relationship with you. Father, those that have never heard your voice, open their ears today to hear what you're speaking to them. And Lord, we ask that you answer the questions in their heart. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we go today, you go with us. There's never a time that you leave us. You're always with us. So may your presence surround them in such a powerful way this week, oh God. Let your presence be felt and manifested in their lives, Lord. And I pray for their families. I pray for their children and their children's children. Lord, we just thank you for salvation in their households. We stand in the gap, just like Abraham stood in the gap and cried out for his family member. Lord, we stand in the gap today and cry out for family members. Lord, let salvation come. Lord, as we yield it all, gotta give it all. We give it all to you, Lord. We give it all to you. Thank you, Lord, that you do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You're such a gracious, gracious Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your presence today. I'm going to ask the elders and the prayer team, those of you that are here today. We have people on vacation coming and going. It's summertime. Hallelujah. Lord, bless them as they travel. But those that are on prayer team, come on up today. And if you have a prayer need today, I'm going to ask that you come forward for prayer. Come on, Janice, if you feel like praying today. You know, prayer team comes up and often they need prayer themselves. So if you need prayer, Make sure you get that yourself today. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand today. And we're going to get ready to be released. Thank you, Lord. There's a sweet presence of the Lord here today. Amen. Just love you, Jesus. He honors us with his presence. He didn't have to come. But his word says, when two or three gather together, he's in our midst. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name.